Brock Marvin is 18 years old and will study sports marketing at college beginning this fall on an athletic scholarship. 16-year-old Connor Marvin is on the soccer team at Elizabethtown Lewis High School. Brock received a heart transplant in December 2010. Younger brother Connor's procedure occurred this year.
I received mine this year, March 1st. Returned to school about a month and a half after, and it's good to be home again.
Now, you both had the heart transplants due to something called dilated cardiomyopathy?
Yep, dilated cardiomyopathy. It's a genetic condition, and it was passed on through our mother, and we unfortunately both inherited it.
And I understand that not everybody has to have a transplant when they have this condition, though.
A lot of times you can live with this condition with medications that regulate different things in your body. You're able to live with it. It can be taken care of. Ours was very severe, so we ended up getting weak enough to the point where we had to have transplants.
How unusual is it for multiple members of a family to get to that point?
I've been told by several people that for two siblings to have a heart transplant, to both have heart transplants, we are, I believe, one of four families in the country to be under those circumstances. So it's really interesting.
Brock, you said you actually had a heart attack.
I did, yeah.
Were you aware that your family even had this disease at that point?
The only thing that we were aware of was that my mom had had heart problems when she was younger. And I was very healthy, very, very healthy. You know, I was in incredible shape for a long time and never thought had any symptoms of, you know, a heart condition. For me, it was a really big shock, you know, when I had the whole attack because I was in such great shape. We had no idea that it was genetic.
How long did you end up being on the waiting list when you were told that you needed to have a heart transplant?
There's different stages of a heart transplant list. There's status 2, there's status 1B and 1A. When you're status 1A, you're basically in the hospital and you need a transplant immediately when you find the right heart. 1B is you can be at home or in the hospital, and 2 is when you're at home. Relatively healthy for somebody who needs a heart transplant. And I waited on status 2 for a heart transplant here at home for about 4 months. And then my heart got so weak to the point where I needed to be in the hospital. I waited 10 days at status 1A and then received my transplant. I was very lucky.
Connor, how about you?
I was put on the heart transplant list in June of 2011. And I was status 2 until November 15th, 2011, and waited. Had a short break home in December over Christmas and went back to the hospital and waited until March 1st. So I had a longer wait in the hospital than he did.
So Connor, having seen what your brother went through, did that make it easier or harder for you?
Everything was much easier for me to know, just to look at him, where he was. He was back on the soccer field when I went in, and it was just great to know that year or so I would be doing the same exact thing that he's doing. So he's been a great help to me.
Brock, you're 18, and Connor, you said you're 16. You're very athletic. You're very much into soccer. How big a factor in your recovery from this and still being so healthy is the fact that you were so very active and athletic beforehand?
You know, that's a big difference in our surgeries than you see with a lot of cases, is that although my heart was incredibly weak when I needed the transplant, and Connor's was also, our bodies were in very good physical condition for somebody laying in a hospital bed. And that's why we've done so well post-transplant. We've had no bouts with rejection from the heart. The doctors tell us that because of our bodies in such great physical condition, and our organs, you know, our other organs being in great condition, with the surgery and other things, really went together well, and overall, you know, made for a good surgery, and us being in good shape led to a successful surgery.
What does it say too about the technology of transplants and how far along we've come?
Yeah, since the idea of organ transplants came around, which I believe was the first heart transplant was in the 60s. The medical field has advanced so much technologically. Almost all transplants are successful now. Very, very seldom do you see a transplant go wrong. The doctors and the physicians are very, very careful about picking and choosing hearts that will be good matches for you, lessening the chance of rejection. And with the new medications, as far as anti-rejection medications that we take and blood pressure medications and antibiotics, it really, really, really lessens the chance of bouts with rejection for any transplant recipient.
Despite the fact that yours has been successful, and in the case of you, Brock, you only had to wait about 4 months for your heart. Connor, you said it was a slightly longer wait. You're being very public about your transplants because you're trying to spread awareness about the need for organ transplants. I take it you saw a lot of people that were waiting even longer.
It really confuses me and saddens me when you see people waiting for transplants die. Because in a lot of different countries, basically what they do, you are born somebody who donates your organs if you were to pass, unless you sign up not to be an organ donor. But unfortunately, here in the United States, we have a different policy. And I really try to push the message of organ donation because that's all you really can do. And when you're in the hospital, you meet different families and you make friends with people. And I know in Connor's case, he became very close to the family and their daughter passed waiting for an organ transplant. And that very easily could have been prevented.
I don't see why the USA doesn't have the policy that other countries in Europe do. Like Brock said, the young girl that passed in the hospital, it's sad to see that, and it shouldn't happen. It doesn't make any sense to me why everyone's not an organ donor.
What do you think the biggest misconception people have about organ donation?
To me, the biggest misconception about organ donation is that people think that their organs, whether they are a smoker, whether they are a drinker, or whatever they are, if they are overweight, whatever it is, sometimes people feel like their organs really wouldn't do anybody any good, which is not true. You know, when I hear people say, well, you don't need this, you don't need this for me, you don't need this, a lot of people do. You'd be surprised. We were very, very lucky to have two people with two good hearts that were donated to us. They were the gifts of life we were given, and we were incredibly lucky. But the biggest misconception is that people think that their organs are a waste, that their organs would do somebody else no good. And, you know, that's pretty upsetting sometimes to hear something like that.
Do you think, too, they focus too much on the major organs? I mean, when somebody signs up for an organ transplant to be an organ donor, I don't think they're thinking about skin or cornea or things like that. And yet, that can be a part of organ donation.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of times people forget that. People focus a lot on your internal main organs. But forget that you can save, I believe it's up to 15 lives and enhance up to 50 by donating your body.
Brock and Connor Marvin, will you seek out your donor families at all?
I plan on doing my best to be able to somehow get in contact with the family. It is their option whether they'd like to meet me or not, but I'd like that, absolutely.
My wish is to eventually write a letter to them and hopefully meet them someday because they gave me the gift of life, and thank you isn't enough. Thank you will never be enough.
Connor and Brock Marvin received their heart transplants at Children's Hospital in Boston. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.